An hour later, they had done all they could, helping old-timers and newcomers alike dig victims out of collapsed houses, helping find children separated from parents, helping round up Koopas freed when a corral fence collapsed. The flying dome had, fortunately, come down in a field rather than atop another dwelling. It had claimed no victims. Reports were sketchy. It appeared that there had been deaths. One of a man electrocuted in his SanaSteam cabinet. One of a teenage boy crushed by a tumbling airspeeder. There might have been more. Some dwellings had caught fire, and their charred ruins had not yet been fully explored. There were indications, too, that other Namchurios towns and settlements had been hit by the force storm. But for now, the chaos had subsided, and Cell led the three of them back to their hostel. Ben shook his head, wondering. Or perhaps Luke mistook his constant shivering for a shake of the head. Ben had not found his cloak, but Ben's voice certainly sounded impressed.
So that was a force storm?
That was worse than any I have ever seen. Luke tried to recall the descriptions Leia had provided him of the ones she'd weathered. Worse than any I've heard about, actually. Vistara frowned, the expression barely visible under her goggles.
Why was it mostly electronics affected?
No one is sure.
Cell's voice was heavy with regret.
And we haven't had any force storms in 30 years to evaluate. But there's a theory that since force activity is magnified and scattered by the presence of the Sills, and since the Sills themselves are a crystal life form resembling programmable computer chips, the force energy is reshaped and resonates within computer circuitry. Everything manufactured these days has circuitry in it, even Durasteel girders for self-diagnostic purposes. A dome like that would have hundreds in it.
Vistara sounded impressed.
Did we cause that?
No.
Cell's voice was decisive.
No. Listener techniques don't do that. I'd have seen it happen before. This was something different.
Abeloth. Luke repressed a sigh. She's here, somewhere, experimenting, using the Force with greater strength than I ever did, certainly, and not caring what happens when she does so. Cell caught Luke's eye and deliberately lagged a little behind. Luke matched his pace to hers. The two teenagers drew ahead. Luke heard Vistara's voice rise, her tone one of accusation.
That's just a ploy, Ben.
No, it's not. I'm freezing. Look at me.
She sighed and opened her cloak, wrapping it around him as well. He tucked in close to her, and they shared its warmth. Cell kept her voice low so Ben and Vistara would not hear.
I need to give you my key.
The key to your dome?
No, to my nemotherapy.
I don't understand.
Think of the mind as a computer system. The patient must trust the listener, and they must work together to create a key. One that will give the listener a back door by which he can invoke the mesmeric trance used in the technique. This was already accomplished on Thea before we arrived tonight. You understand?
I think so. Cell passed him a folded sheet of flimsoplast. It was thin enough that Luke could see some of the notation through the material. It seemed to be a musical score. The lyrics belonged to an ancient lullaby of Alderaan. Luke had heard Leia sing it to Jason and Jaina when they were little. Cell returned her hand to the warmth of her jacket pocket.
That is mine. Taru and the other listeners used it when curing me. You may have need of it if you feel that I may have been compromised by this Abeloth. It might allow you to be sure.
You're playing a dangerous game, Cell. You'd still be better off just leaving for a while.
So would you.
Point taken.